Roots of Unity. Welcome back. Last time we used polynomials as a place to store data, and we checked them with a single number using Schwarzschild. But there is a question that should have been nagging you the whole time. How do we do any of this fast? Because if it is slow, none of it matters in practice. The answer has a scary name, Roots of Unity, and I promise the idea is way simpler than the name. It is also what makes ZK proofs roughly 50,000 times faster for a typical circuit, so it is worth your time. Before we touch roots of unity, you need to see the problem they fix. There are two ways to store a polynomial, and this is the key idea. The first is coefficient form, the one you already know. You just keep the coefficients in a list. 1 plus 2x plus 3x squared becomes the list 1, 2, 3. In this form, adding two polynomials is cheap. You add the lists element by element. But multiplying them is painful because every coefficient of one has to meet every coefficient of the other. That is n squared work. The second way is evaluation form. Instead of coefficients, you store what the polynomial spits out at a bunch of chosen points. And now multiplication is trivial. You just multiply the values point by point, which is linear. So think of it like a coin with two sides. One side, coefficients, makes addition cheap. The other side, evaluations, makes multiplication cheap. Same polynomial, two views. The whole trouble is flipping the coin. Going from coefficients to points means evaluating at n points, that is n squared. Going back finding the polynomial through n points is interpolation, also n squared. For a real ZK size like 2 to the 20th coefficients, each flip is about a trillion multiplications. The flip is the bottleneck. Unless, and this is the trick, you are clever about which points you evaluate at. So, roots of unity. Here is the whole idea. You pick a special number called omega. You raise it to the zero, then the first, the second, all the way up. And for the 8th roots, you get 8 different values, and then omega to the 8th lands you right back on 1. It cycles. If you draw this on the complex plane, those values sit evenly around a circle, and multiplying by omega literally rotates you around that circle one notch at a time. That is where the picture in your head should come from. Now, in a finite field, there is no circle and nothing actually rotates. Omega is just some big integer, and multiplying by it is plain modular multiplication. But the algebra is identical. N values that cycle back to 1 with the same symmetry. And this, by the way, is why in ZK libraries you keep seeing something called omega and operations called rotation, even though you are working with integers. The names were borrowed from the complex plane where they made visual sense. One more thing about the name. The root in root of unity means exactly what it means in root of an equation, a number that makes it 0. Every 8th root of unity, raised to the 8th power, gives 1, which is the same as saying it is a solution of z used to the 8th minus 1 equals 0, not just one of them, all 8. That single fact that the polynomial z to the 8th minus 1 has all the roots of unity as its solutions is going to be very useful later, because it lets us check a whole bunch of constraints in one shot. Okay, so how does picking these points actually speed things up? Here is the move. Take a polynomial and split it into its even position coefficients and its odd position coefficients. That turns one big polynomial into two half-size ones. Then you split each of those the same way and again until you are down to single numbers. Then you build back up. At each step you take two values, call them a and b, and you produce a plus omega to the k times b and a minus that same thing. Two outputs, almost the same work. That little a plus and a minus pair is called the butterfly, because if you draw the two crossing lines, they kind of look like wings. The omega to the k multiplier riding along is called the twiddle factor, and at the very first level it is just 1. So the butterfly is literally just a plus b and a minus b. Why does the splitting work so cleanly? Because of that circle symmetry. Roots that sit opposite each other on the circle square to the same value. So 8 roots collapse to 4 distinct squares, 4 collapse to 2, 2 collapse to 1. Every level halves the number of distinct values, and that halving is exactly what lets you share work between levels instead of redoing it. Let me put real numbers on it. For a circuit of size 2 to the 20th, that is about 1 million points. The naive way is 2 to the 40th, call it 1.1 trillion multiplications. The smart way is the size times its log, about 21 million. That is a 50,000 times speed up. Go up to 2 to the 25th, about 33 million points, and the smart way is around 800 million operations against 10 to the 15th for the naive one, so now you are past 1 million times faster. Even at a tiny size of 8, the naive evaluation takes 127 multiplications, and the butterfly takes 17, and the gap only widens from there. This algorithm is the fast Fourier transform, the FFT. When you run it over a finite field instead of complex numbers, it gets a different name, the number theoretic transform, the NTT, same structure, same recursion, just different arithmetic. There is one catch baked into all this. The halving has to split cleanly every single time, from n down to n over 2, all the way down to 1. That only works if n is a power of 2. This is the real reason every ZK framework uses sizes like 2 to the 16th or 2 to the 20th, and it is why every tutorial tells you to pad your trace to a power of 2. Now you know it is not a style choice, it falls straight out of the algorithm. The field has to cooperate too, the number p minus 1 has to be divisible by big powers of 2, so there is room to keep halving. That property is called two-adicity. And BN254 has a two-adicity of 28, which means it supports these domains up to 2 to the 28th, about 268 million points, plenty for almost any circuit. Alright, enough theory, let us actually use them. Remember, last post, we stored the data by picking x values and evaluating. Roots of Unity hand us those x values for free, omega to the 0, omega to the 1, and so on. You drop each piece of data onto a root, run the inverse NTT, and outfall the coefficients of a polynomial that encodes your data. That is interpolation, and now it is n log n instead of n squared. In the example, I take the word cool as four ASCII numbers, 99, 111, 111, 108, run the inverse NTT, get a polynomial, and then check it the old-fashioned way by evaluating at the roots of Unity. And sure enough, the original numbers come back out. Same evaluate call as post one, the only difference is the x values are now roots of Unity instead of random numbers. This is exactly what a prover does to turn an execution trace into polynomials, which is the next post. So what did you just do? You generated roots of Unity over a finite field. You saw why their symmetry buys you n log n evaluation. And you used the inverse NTT to interpolate a polynomial straight from raw data. And the scary name? Unity just means one, roots just means solutions. So roots of Unity literally means the solutions to z to the n equals 1. Euler was poking at these back in 1751, and Gauss wrote 74 pages, nailing down the theory around 1801. Old math, still doing the heavy lifting. One last personal note, the thing that stuck with me most. The first time I saw omega and rotation in ZK code, I was completely lost. It looked like geometry, angles and rotations, none of which belongs in integers modulo a prime. Then I started spotting roots of Unity elsewhere in math, especially in the FFT, and it clicked that, yet again, these are just names. They carry real meaning, but they mislead you if you take them literally. Once you know where the name came from, it actually makes sense why we still call them roots of Unity, even in a finite field. Next up, the execution trace. We have got our fast polynomial engine, so the question becomes, how do you take an actual program, with all its steps and its state, and turn it into polynomials? That is the trace. Before you go, a word from this post's sponsor, which is me. If you want me to walk you through this on real Rust code, I do one-on-one mentoring. It's at rustarians.com/training. All right, that's the ad. See you there.